Message today is the clash, pride versus humility. How many of you have any pride? All right, I'm talking to the right crowd. All right, good, good. I think we all have pride, and what we do with it is what matters, amen? So why don't we stand, and we'll read the word this morning. It comes out of James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. It's titled, Humility Cures Worldliness. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Father, as we go into this time of your word, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would cure the worldliness inside of us. That, Lord, that we would cast those things down, Lord, and we would humble ourselves and recognize you as our Lord and Savior, and recognize you and your way of doing things, your way of being right, as the way we need to go. And, Lord, that we would not only say that in our minds, but in our hearts, we would believe it to the point of transformation in our lives. We give you praise for this time, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Pride. I got to ask, how many of you had pride? Now, if you go into the Word and you begin to read, you'll see that Satan had a lot of pride. The devil, Lucifer, however you want to call him, our adversary, the enemy, he came about through pride as our adversary. Because he was in heaven, he worshiped God, he was the worship leader in heaven, he exalted God, but it got to the point where he got so full of himself that he thought of himself higher than God. And so he convinced a third of the angels that he was higher than God. And so then there was a war that ensued in heaven, and God removed Satan from heaven, and he fell from the grace of the Lord and ended up where he is today. And this brings us to, when I think of that, I think of this scripture. You know, pride comes before the fall. And actually, the way it goes is in Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So, you know, Jesus was there. He saw this because in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he says, and he said to them, I saw, everybody say saw, Satan falling like lightning from heaven. So wherever pride exists, we're being set up for a fall. Reminds me of a little story. There's two ducks and a frog in a pond. These two ducks and the frog, they played all the time together. Every day these ducks and this frog played. And they were best of friends, but the pond started drying up. So the ducks can fly, so they're like, well, we're going to go to another pond. But they didn't want to leave their buddy, the frog, behind. So the frog came up with an idea. Well, if you ducks put a stick in your mouth and fly together, I can clamp onto the stick with my mouth, and then where you fly, then we'll be able to be there. So the ducks pick up a stick, and the frog latches on with his mouth, and they take off, and they're flying, and as they're flying, there's a farmer down there, and he says, wow, look at that frog and those ducks. I wonder who thought of that. And the frog said, I did! Pride comes before the fall, amen? And we know that, you know, what it said in verse 6 we talked about last week, it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And we talked last week about going to the toolbox of grace and partaking of the things that God has lined up for us. And James, he is so detailed in his explanation about this stuff, because he gives us he tells us what it looks like to receive the grace we need so that we can all be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. And the first thing that he tells us is he tells us to submit to God. He says, submit to God. Humble yourself before it. Submit to God. That's the first thing he tells us. And when I think of submitting to God, well, what the dictionary says, it means to obey, to be obedient to. And when I started looking at that word submit, and you know, Pastor Jesse, it's the same word he uses in Ephesians 5 when he talks about the husband and the wife. He says, first, he says, submit one to another. That, you know, we're to be obedient to each other. And then he goes on in the New King James says, the wives to submit to their husbands. So to be obedient. Now, in this sense, Pastor, people think this is women today, like, it's terrible. This is the terrible word, submission, to be obedient to your husband. I've talked to people, women, and they're like, I don't like that. That's terrible. They don't want to submit. And let me just tell you this. It says submit one to another. If we have a problem submitting this way one to another, what makes us think we're going to submit to God? Because what you do this way is how you live this way. If you live this way and you say, oh, I love God and I'm obedient and I do everything, then this way is going to be great. But if you're not working this out according to the word, then this way is going to not be good either. So if I'm going to submit to God, that means that I'm going to stay submitted to God. I'm going to live in submission, in obedience, in relationship with God. Because, you know, and we think, well, I came to church on Sundays, so the devil's got to go. You know, submit to God, resist the devil. You know, so that I came to church on Sunday, I'm not going to have any problems with the devil anymore. It's going to be okay. There's a time frame in that. You don't just submit to God on a Sunday and then on Monday the devil never bugs you again. And that you get everything right. It's when we stay in submission to God. We stay there. And then when the enemy throws things at you, as you're growing in Christ, they just start bouncing off. And pretty soon, then you know, you go down the line, you know, another year or two, and you're like, wow, I remember when this used to be so hard for me. I remember when I used to get tempted about this stuff, and now I don't even think about it anymore. Because when you stay submitted to God, you stay in relationship with God, you stay in obedience to Him, to His Word, what the Spirit is telling you, when you're living right here, I don't have to work at resisting. Because when I'm living here, I don't have to try to resist what the devil's throwing at me, because I'm living there. When I'm living there, the devil does what he wants, and it doesn't matter. And then pretty soon he realizes, oh my gosh, this guy's resisting me. And it means you're pushing back. Because when I'm in submitting to God, when I'm in worship and I'm prayer, I'm reading my word, I'm growing in Christ, I'm activating the word, I'm walking out what he tells me. Man, the devil's freaking out over here, so he starts throwing bombs at me. Woo! Let's throw a grenade on Ron King, man. Let's see if we can get him to fall. And it's just like they just bounce off because, man, I'm right there. I'm under that covering. He says, Psalms 5:12, he says, around the righteous, God surrounds them with a shield of favor. That's one of my favorite verses, because when we're living in righteousness, we're walking in righteousness, man, we are surrounded with a shield of favor. It's around about us. And so what the enemy is throwing at us, I know people talk about, you know, we got to do warfare, we got to bind, we got to loose, you know, there's a time for that. But if I just stay submitted to God, if I just live there, the devil's going to be like, you know, we got to try something new. But there's going to come a time where he's got to flee. And that means that he's going to run away from me. He's going to run away from me. Amen. He's going to flee. He's not going to have any ground with me. He'll flee. The definition, I looked it up, and it says flee by implication to shun. To vanish. The devil will vanish. How do you want the devil to vanish? Live here, submitted to God. Submitted to God. You know, as in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, what it says in the Amplified, it says, seek first God's way of doing things, his way of being right, and he'll take care of you. Live over there. Because when we get up out of there and we come over here to try to resist the devil, it's when it starts falling apart. And then we got to go back over here. So if we can just learn in this passage that James is telling us, he says, just live here in submission to God. Don't stop. Don't get up from here to go fight over here. Be there, and God's got the fight. God will give you the power to resist everything the enemy throws. But we have to live a life of submission to the Lord. We have to be subject to Him. We have to be obedient to Him. You know, because when we live in a kingdom, amen, the kingdom of God, the kingdom has come because of what Jesus did. So in the realm of the kingdom, we are His subjects, amen. So we do what the king tells us to do. And when we're living the way the king has called us to, we're living in that realm of the kingdom. He protects us. The king protects us from the outside forces that would come to influence us, that would come to cause to take our lives. He protects us because we're in a kingdom. Think of it as that way. It is a kingdom, and we are His subjects, amen? But we are His favorite subjects. We are holy and beloved of God, amen? That's what He's called us to. So, you know, the enemy will... It says to escape. The enemy will have to escape from you if you stay submitted to God. And he will try to get away from you. He will flee. He will disappear. He'll vanish. But it's when we get up from there and come and we try and fight the devil. You know, I tell people, man, you know, don't pray binding this and don't pray trying to pull down this and that, because you know, if you're not living there, if you're getting up over here to pray those kind of prayers, you're opening yourself up to an attack. Stay submitted to God. Praise Him. I put on the garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness is where? It's gone. Give your tithes and your offerings. What happens when you give? The Lord says, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. He'll fight that battle for you. So it's when we stay submitted to God, do things His way, that He destroys the enemy's plans, that the enemy's got to go. You say, well, I've been battling this and I've been battling that. Get over there. Stop battling this and battling that and get on your face. Do things God's way. And that stuff just starts falling away. You start going, oh my gosh, and then we'll be having, remember when I used to do this stories? Remember when I did this and I did that? And we'll be like, no, I don't remember you that way. I only know you this way. Over there, submitted, walking with God. See, and because when we realize where our strength comes from, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you shall receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And that word power is dunamis, and that means the ability to do miracle. And I think the greatest miracle that us as the body of Christ could ever do is to stay submitted to the Lord. To not stumble and fall. That'd be the greatest miracle of all. That the people say, oh my gosh, them people at New Hope, they really are holy. Because it starts showing on the outside, not just in here. Man, they're holy. They're the blood. They must be God's favorites. God takes care of them people at New Hope. Because when we receive that power of God in us, the Holy Spirit, and then we're witnesses. That means we're just letting our light shine. But God empowers us to stay there. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the end of the scripture says, do not sorrow for the joy. Everybody say joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The pleasure in knowing God, the greatness of being submitted over here is where you gain your strength. The joy of the Lord, knowing Him, walking with Him, talking with Him. It's just... it's wonderful. It's just like when you get to know a person and you get to, you know, you get past the, hey, how you doing? and you know, the little handshake, but you start getting in-depth relationships with each other. And it becomes a joy because you know that person. You're like, wow, I'm making friends, and it just brings a joy. But how great is it if we could just be friends with God, that we could have that relationship, that we walk with him, we talk with him. And every day, Angela, it's just like, wow, our relationship's growing. And that joy comes to you, and it gives you strength to not get up from there. Not the strength to resist. That comes from just being in his presence, being with him, to knowing him. As we've been going through and reading the book of Matthew, you know, he talked about the four different kinds of ground in this chapter, in the book of Matthew. You know, there's, you know, the ground where the seed doesn't sink in, the ground with the stony ground, the ground with the thorny ground, or the ground that's good. My question would be is, I have two questions. What kind of ground are you? And how do you know? Is the word sinking into you deep? Do you allow it to come in and affect your life? Do you allow it to change you and transform you? Do you allow it to bring forth fruit in your life? Or is it when you go walk out of here and it's thorny ground? Thorny ground, I think, is the one where it's like the seed, the plant starts to grow, but the plants choke it out. The thorny thorns choke it out. And that's equivalent to when you hit a trial, you forget what you've learned in the kingdom. So you have to determine what kind of ground you're going to be. Are you going to be the ground that says, no matter what, God, I'm going to stay over here submitted to you. No matter what goes on, no matter what people say, no matter what the enemy throws at me, I'm going to stay there submitted to you. Or are you the kind of ground that says, well, that was fun. I got to meet some people today. I got to talk to some people. That's great. I'll see you next week. And then you don't think about it again until next week. So you decide what kind of ground you're going to be. You decide if you're going to be good ground that it's going to seek in and be transformational in your life. No one, not even God, does that for you. God doesn't change your mind in the sense that to make you do things. We were singing that song, and a little bit ago, Draw Me Close to You. I got to tell you, that's not how it works. It's not that God's got to draw close to us. James tells us, you draw close to God. You draw close to God. I don't know if we'll sing that song again. It's wrong. If you're listening, Joanne, take it out. Because we want God to do everything, and he's already done it. You know, James goes on, and he takes us down a path that just really challenging us to draw close to God. I asked you last week, I think it was, what kind of faith do you have? Do you have the faith that says, let it be as you've said? Do you have the faith that causes you to act on what God has said? Or do you have the faith that doubts what God says? You decide what kind of faith you have. You decide what you're going to move out of. You decide how you leave this place. I'm going to walk and I'm going to say, hey, Lord, what you've said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live in it. Or you doubt, say, well, I don't know. You know, that preacher up there said I was healed in the name of Jesus, but I don't know. We doubt. The preacher said, give and it shall be given. Wednesday night, what I did was I asked, how many people have a need? That was my question Wednesday night. I said, you're the ones that need to come pray for us, you that have a need. If you need healing, come and pray for healing. If you need finances, come and pray God's blessing. Because when you do that, then you're giving. Give and it shall be given. Pray out of your need. Bless out of your need. Give out of your need. Not just in finances, but in your prayer time. Give out of your need. I've heard people say, well, I can't pray for the sick. I don't feel good. That's the best time to pray for somebody is when you need. Amen? I was telling them, Juwan, we need to take that song out, Draw Me Close to You. Did you hear me? Okay. I know I'm crazy. It's a nice song, I think. And I really love singing this, Lord, but it's not biblical. So, you know, James goes, you know, when you look at this, I would like you to ask these questions. I've been asking you questions. Are you humble? Are you humble, or are you the kind of person that says, what about me? When are they going to recognize me? When are they going to call me out for my giftings? When are they going to use me? When are they going to do something with me? When are they going to, you know, let me do something? You know, or do you, what about me? That's not a sign of humility. A humble servant is like this. This is a humble servant. Hey, pastor, where do you need me? How long do you need me? And then you do the best you can, and we don't even recognize you again. Maggie's looking for people like that. You'll recognize them too. A bonus. I like to recognize people that serve too. I really do. I like to give honor when honor is due. But Maggie's looking for people that'll say, hey, come and teach these kids, man. You want to preach? Go out there. Learn to preach to kids. If you can reach a kid, you can reach anybody. But you gotta be humble enough to say, well, I'm going to go teach the kids for a season. Put it out there. But James, he takes us a little deeper. He says, draw near to God. Draw near to God. That is your challenge today. Draw near to God. We all would like God, could you draw near to me so I could feel you, so that I know that you love me? Oh my gosh, come on. He already died for you. He already took it all to the cross. Draw near to him. Enter into that he did it. Draw near to him. And then it says, then he will draw near to you. He will draw near to you. When you're pushing, when you want to feel his presence, get out of your seat, get to the altar, and come and worship him. Get on your face, let him know, hey, God, man, I'm here and I'm humbling myself before you, before these people even, God, I don't care what people think about me. I remember before it was popular to come to the altar, God touched me. He touched me in such a powerful way, man. I was sobbing so hard. I was back about where you were, Joe, and man, I was tore up. And God says, now, if you believe what I told you, I want you to go and lay on the altar. I'm like, what? I mean, it's like the tears stopped. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, if you believe what I'm telling you, I want you to go lay yourself on the altar. I'm like, but there's nobody at the altar, God. If you believe what I'm telling you, get down to the altar. So I came and, I mean, I had to crawl back because when I responded to him, his presence was so overwhelming on me. When I drew near to him, he drew near to me, Joanne, and I did. I crawled back to my seat because I couldn't even stand up. His presence was so heavy on me. But when you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. If you need something in the Lord, if you're searching, if you're seeking him, then get out of your seat. He says, listen, you don't need anybody to teach you. You have the Holy Spirit. Come to church, just encourage, be encouraged in the things of God. Encourage each other. This would be a high five party. Like, wow, this is what the Lord did this week because I'm living over there. I'm submitted to him. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart. So he's telling us, wash your hands of sin. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So what is double-mindedness? It's hearing the word and doing the opposite. It's taking in the word of God and saying, I'm going to try the world's way, and then if that don't work, then I'll try God's way. It's being double-minded. You got one foot in the world. One foot in the church, one foot in the world, one foot with the Lord. Live over there. Submit to God. Purify your hands. He says, lament and mourn and weep. He says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. You turn your joy to gloom. I thought we were supposed to come to church and be all happy. But James is telling us, listen, to have remorse for the sins that we commit. To really be remorseful for the things that we've done. Not just to say, oh, well, I'm forgiven. No, he's saying, hey, you know, you get rid of that smile off your face. That kind of, you know how like when your kid's getting in trouble and he's smiling at you, you say, you better knock that smile off your face before I do. You've said that to your kids. I know you have. But yet we come to God and we say, God, I'm sorry I sinned. He's saying, hey, be serious about it. So number one, he's telling us, you need to repent of our, we need to repent of our sins. And repentance just means, you know, that we're sorrowful, we're mournful, that we're really crying out to God so that we don't do it anymore. How many of you said, I'm sorry, and then did it again? He's telling us to repent. It's not just I'm sorry, it's mourning for the way that I've been living and then turning away from it. I humble myself to him because I can't do this on my own, amen? I can't do this on my own. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I humble myself to you because I need you. I repent of my sins. I need you. I'm turning away, lament, mourn, get gloom. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't ever want to do it again. Turn away from it. Turn away from it. Number two, commit to Jesus. Make a commitment. Amen. Resolutions don't do it. How many of you made a resolution and have already broken it? They say this last week was the time that most resolutions get broken. This last week. Most New Year's resolutions have ended by today. Now's the time to go to the gym because they'll be emptying out this week, okay? So, all them people that were crammed in there this last month, they're gone now, okay? So it's good. But resolutions don't do it. Commitment does. When you make a commit to do things his way, amen? Commit to find his way. Commit to find, how does Jesus do it? How does he want me to do it? How does he want me to live? Commit to finding out, you know, reading your word and praying and seeking his face. Commit to that. Commit to being with him on a daily time that you have a time that you set aside, that you're with the Lord. Make a commitment to do that. You know, I went one time 17 and a half years with never calling in sick to work. I mean, I'm sure there's probably some people here that have gone longer, but I never called in sick. No, didn't take days off. I just vacation. That was it. Never called in sick. I asked Jackie, I said, how many sick days do I have? And she goes, you have none. You don't need them. I'm like, praise God. You know, because I'm living in the kingdom. I'm committing to being with him. But when, you know, like when I make a commitment to be somewhere, I'm there. I heard somebody say, Pastor Rich Kerr, our superintendent, he said, hey, he says, I was raised that, you know, if I'm going to be somewhere, that 15 minutes early is on time. What time does this service start? 8:45. Thank you, Marianne. Not to say anything, you know, about all of us that are late, but commit to being with him and then commit to serving. Commit to serving. Make a commitment to Maggie for a year. She'll use you once a month. Commit to serving. Commit to ushering. Commit to something in the house of God. Amen? I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody here that's disqualified from doing something in the house of God. There is room for everybody at the table. Just commit to something. Well, I don't have any other days that I really want to be there, so I'm going to serve on Sunday. Okay, we'll take it. I saw Margaret here early today, real early. Man, I'm like, what is she doing here so early? Then I seen her with a stack of bulletins. I'm like, oh, she's greeting today. Hallelujah. We need greeters. We need people that are just welcome people. Amen. Pastor Jesse's over the greeters. You can just see him, man. He'll hook you up. He'll get you plugged in. You know, we need people to help with communion stuff. You know, we need people to serve in children's ministries. Wednesday night, we have pioneer clubs. And Wednesday night is, you know, a lot of kids, and they're doing different things, and when Maggie's by herself, she's like, I can't do it alone. Commit to a Wednesday night, once a month. How many of you like to do crafts? None of you are going to raise your hand, and I know that's not true. Oh my gosh, you're in the house of the Lord. Ray, you like to build things. You're a crafty guy. Come on Wednesday night and do something with the kids when you can. Dean, oh my gosh, Dean, you're the craftiest guy I know. You make them beautiful pins. You should be teaching them the kids. Throw your lathe in the car and, you know, come down here and show them how to make a pin. Wednesday nights. See, Maggie can't come and say, oh, what do you do? How can I use you? What can you do, Joni, that I could use you? You need to go to her. You know, I keep telling Maggie, I said, you know, people will not come and volunteer. You have to ask them. And I tell people, people say, well, advertise my event, Pastor. Tell them to come to my event. And you know what I tell them, Mary? The only way you're going to get people to come to your event is if you shake their hand. Because they don't listen up here. You've got to get hungry. You've got to make a commitment to be a part of the body. Because, Priscilla, we need you. What we don't realize in the body of Christ is how valuable we are. See, Tess, you may be the very elbow that this body needs, but if you don't do it, then the whole hand doesn't function without the elbow. And we don't realize that when we're missing, that when we're not there, when we don't keep the commitment that we've made, then we're not, there's a function that doesn't happen. See, and as we're trying to exercise the gifts in this house, allow God to flow, you may have a prophetic anointing and think, well, I'm not going to go today. And then it may not be here for that day. Or somebody just needs a word of encouragement on a Wednesday night. But hey, you didn't come. Commit. Commit to connecting with the body. Commit to serving. Commit to connecting. Iron sharpens iron. But listen, don't come sharpen my iron unless you know me. You know what I'm saying? Get to know me, and then I'll let you speak into my life. See, but if we don't commit to relationships in the body of Christ, then we're not going to receive. We got to build relationships, amen? And once you commit, be consistent. Be consistent. Don't relax in the things of God. Be consistent with it. You get up and you go to work every day because you have financial needs. You need the money, right? Look for jobs. You look for better jobs. You do your job well. Believe that God's going to bless you, give you a raise, you know, but be consistent in it. You're consistent. You get up and go. And it's good to be consistent in your job and do it as under the Lord so God can promote you. But be consistent in your personal growth in the Lord. How many of you, and I want you to be honest. Now, this is the time where I don't care what we've done before. I want you to raise your hand if you believe this. How many of you believe that I need to be consistent in my growth in the Lord? Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay, not everybody still. You expect me to grow in the Lord, but God expects you to grow in the Lord too, to be consistent with it, amen? Be consistent in your personal growth. Be consistent in your church attendance. Don't be a hit and miss. Get into the house of God. Man, it's right here. Don't sit down in the foyer and talk to somebody about your problems. They can't help you. Get to the altar of the Lord with your problems. The Lord is the one that's going to help you, amen? God is the one that's going to listen. God's the one that's going to do something about it. Get to the altar of the Lord. Be consistent in coming to church. Once you make that commitment, like, I'm committed. I'm here Wednesdays and Sundays. I'm here Wednesday night. I'm here Sunday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm consistent about it. I love coming to the house of the Lord. And if there's other things that I need to be, I am there. I am consistent. You can count on me. I know that I did prayer on Saturday mornings for 7.5 years here. And I was here every day as long as I was in town. Except for one time. The day that I moved. I moved into this house. I parked in front of a garage. And I didn't know that I was going to be towed that night. And I walked out, my car was gone. I had to call somebody else to help me. That was the only time I ever missed Saturday prayer. Friday night prayer. Man, when we were doing Friday night prayer, I'm consistent. When I make a commitment, I'm there. Make a commitment and then be consistent. Amen. Be consistent in building relationships in the body of Christ. And if you have things about you that you don't want people to know about you, and that's why you're not building relationships in the church, deal with them things. Deal with them. Give them to the Lord, amen? So when we're doing these things and we're submitting our life to God, we will resist the devil. And he will go. He has to. He has to flee. We gain strength in the things of God. We gain strength when we have relationship with godly people. Iron sharpens iron, amen? And we need to allow that. We need to allow people into our lives. And I know, man, us Christians, we can be so guarded. Don't guard so well. Let people into your life. Well, I got this, I got that. Well, who cares? How many of us haven't had this or that? It's amazing what God will do in us. But know this, God can only go as far in you as you let him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, you challenge us in this that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And Lord, I pray that today that, Lord, that we could be repentant of our sins, that, Lord, truly we would let go of things. Lord, that we could commit to Jesus, and that, Lord, that we would be consistent, Lord, in our walk with you, in our relationships, in our growth. Father, that you would just help us. Lord, that we don't give up on ourselves and we don't give up on others, but Lord, that we would be challenged to sharpen some iron in these days ahead by building relationships with each other. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I haven't been walking with the Lord, and I need to make a commitment to Jesus today. I need to make, before I can be consistent, I need to make a commitment to the Lord. I need to give him my life today. I need to just surrender and say, God, here I am. I repent of my sins. Be my Lord. If that's you today, I want to just pray with you. If that's you today, just raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Just raise your hand if that's you because I'm going to pray with you. I'm not going to call you down to the front or anything. I just want to pray with you. Praise you, Jesus. Why don't we all stand? Father, you saw those hands that went up. And Lord, it is... Your spirit is working in us today. I pray, Father God, that those that are repenting, Father God, that they just cast those things down right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, and I pray that, Lord, that we could make that commitment to you. Lord, that we commit to you, that we commit to the body of Christ. Lord, that we commit to our growth in you, Jesus. And Lord, that we could be consistent in it. That, Lord, that we just not be hit and miss, but, Lord, we be consistent. And, Father God, and in our commitment to Jesus, Lord, we be committed to winning somebody to Jesus this year. That, Lord, it would be in our hearts to win somebody to Jesus. Lord, and I thank you for the commitment you've made to us, the commitment in blood, that you sealed it with your blood. You shed your blood so that we could have life. I speak life over this body of believers today. I thank you for their lives, Father God. I thank you for the commitment they're making today. And I pray that, Lord, that now we would all be consistent, Father God. That, Lord, that what we commit to, we'd be consistent in. That, Lord, that your joy truly would be our strength. That the power of the Holy Spirit, which is inside of us, would propel us forward into what you have for us. Lord, that we would not shrink back, but we would press forward. Lord, that we would stay submitted to you, to your plans, your purposes. Father, that you continue to reveal yourself to us as we draw near to you. As we draw near to you, we know that you're coming close and closer and closer to us. So, Father, I pray, Lord, even as we cleanse our hands, that, Lord, that your Spirit would just rule in our lives. That truly we'd be just walking in the Spirit. I pray a covering over every person here today and the commitment they made today to walk it out in faith, believing that God is for you. So, Father, we thank you, and I pray just our submission to you be like never before. Let your protection be upon us as we go today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.